Well, good morning, everybody. Great to see you today. If you would find your seat, that would be great. And let me just ask you, who's ready for some God's Word today? Ready to be encouraged, built up? If you've got your Bibles, let's open to Philippians chapter 4. We're talking about the power of our thoughts. And as you're turning there, Philippians chapter 4, I want to pray for us this morning. I believe that many of us were coming through these doors and we're in anticipation of God speaking to us today. And so, God, we just invite your Holy Spirit's presence to speak to us, to encourage us, to challenge us, to convict us where it's needed. And God, we know that you love us. And so we receive every word that you have for us this morning. We need it. We ask for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I need a little bit of participation this morning because it's no fun to play without you. How many of you would say that at some point in your life, whether you want to tell the story or not, you've done something or made a decision that was completely irrational? Just raise your hand, okay? You've made a decision complete. The rest of you, just go ahead and polish your halos, okay? Yeah, you're perfect people. Everybody makes irrational decisions from time to time. And I will tell on myself just for a little bit because I will tell you, I like to try to eat healthy. I try to eat a healthy breakfast. It's almost the same thing every morning. For lunch, I try to plan out my lunches so I don't get hungry and think, oh no, what am I going to eat? And I have Taco Bell. So I try to eat healthy lunches. We try to plan out our dinner so our micros and our macros and our protein and carb and fats are all mixed right and things like that. I try to eat healthy. I want to be healthy unless Therese brings a pan of brownies over. And then 20 minutes later, I'm living in a world of regret. I'll tell you, I've got a love-hate relationship with chocolate chip cookies. I love them until I eat the entire batch, and then I hate them. I try to eat healthy, be healthy, but sometimes I make incredibly irrational decisions in my life. And maybe some of you can relate to that. Maybe for some of us, we try to be financially fit. We're trying to save money or to get out of debt, and so we're saying no to instant gratification, and we're living off of a budget, and we're brown bagging it for lunch at work, and we're saving money, and we're getting out of debt for 11 days. We're doing great, and then all of a sudden, there's a shirt on sale, and I got to have the shirt, and you buy the shirt, and you're like, well, I don't have an outfit to go with it, and so you got to get the outfit, and no good outfit comes without two good pairs of shoes, and so you get shoes. And all of a sudden, you've been making good decisions, and then you make one incredibly irrational decision. Maybe for some of you, you know you need to apologize. You know that there's no reconciliation in a relationship without two people coming to terms saying, hey, I own this part of the problem. And you know you need to say the words. You know you need to send the text, pick up the phone, and call. But you just don't. You want to have wholeness in a relationship, but you just don't do it. Why is it that sometimes we have and make completely irrational decisions in life? Well, if you were here with us last week, we talked about what happens when you think a thought. That every time you think a thought, it becomes easier to think that thought again, which is really great news if you're in the pattern of thinking really positive and good thoughts, if your mind is dwelling on God's truth and you're meditating on God's truth. And it's really great if you've got good things going in your head, but the problem is that most of us aren't thinking positive thoughts. We're not dwelling on God's truth. And the problem with this is that when we think bad thoughts, we get consumed with lies or negative thinking or critical thinking or destructive self-talk. And it's actually easier for our brains to fixate on negative things than positive things. And what's the problem here? The problem is that most of life's battles, whether that's in a relationship that you've got conflict in, whether that's a habit you're trying to start or a bad habit you're trying to break or something within yourself, most of life's battles are won or lost inside of the brain, inside of the mind, that there's a battlefield in our mind. And if I could just be really transparent, I'd say that there's so many seasons of my life I've been consumed by negative thoughts and critical self-thinking, and I could be incredibly, you know, truth-filled and preach God's truth on a Sunday morning, but the thought cycle that's been going on in my head before and after it, for seasons have been incredibly destructive to what God is wanting to do in my life. Just why in this message series, I'm teaching what I'm practicing and what I've been doing over the last season. Now, what we're talking about is the Apostle Paul, and we looked at the truth that Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says in verse 4, he says, the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world. In other words, you better not be engaging in marital conflict like the rest of the world does it. You better not be engaging in conflict with your coworkers like the rest of the world does it. You better not be fighting the battles like the rest of the world fights with, because we have different weapons at our disposal. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. You remember from last week what a stronghold is? A stronghold is a thought or a lie that holds you hostage. It's a mental script that holds you hostage. It's something negative in your mind that you've been dwelling on and believing about yourself or your circumstance that's holding you hostage. It's when you say, I can't, and I never will, and I'll never have. It's when you say, I can't, when God has already said that you can, that you've given your enemy a foothold in your life on which to build a stronghold. And Paul says this in verse 5. He says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That phrase, take captive, Paul is using a Greek term which literally means to take captive by spear point or by the tip of a sword. In other words, you take those thoughts as a prisoner of war, you show it no mercy, and you teach it the word of God, and you trade it with the truth that'll set you free. Now, before I read today's text, I want to remind us a little bit about the Apostle Paul, because it would be easy to think that Paul, he's got so many positive things to say and so much life, so many life-giving statements. It'd be easy to think that Paul's life was just a bed of roses, like everything was going great for Paul. But what we need to remember is that Paul, almost the majority of his letters are either written from a dungeon, a prison cell, from house arrest, or an incredibly difficult situation or season of his life. And what I want you to notice is that as he writes this book to the church in Philippi, it's one of the most powerful, joy-filled, encouraging letters. And notice what he doesn't say, though. He doesn't say, you know, guys, I'm in prison right now, and you have no idea how hard it is. I mean, the food is terrible. He doesn't say, guys, you have no idea. I'm just so discouraged. I'm hanging on by a thread. He doesn't say, God, would you pray for me? Because I never thought I would end up here in my life. Where is God in the midst of all of this? He doesn't say any of that. This is what he says. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. He says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Somebody say, fix your thoughts this morning. Say, fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. It comes from a single word in Greek. It's the Greek word legizomai. And it means so much more than just kind of casually thinking about something. It means to evaluate this. It means to consider, to calculate. In the verb tense of legizomai, it means that this is a habit, that this is a constant discipline that you have to set all of your thoughts on these things, things that are true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable, excellent, worthy of praise. You know, the truth is that when your mind is fixed on these types of things, you've got no more mental capacity to fixate on lies and negative things and negative self-talk. Paul says, fix your mind on these things. Now, why does this matter? Well, if you're taking notes, it's because your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. That the trajectory of your life is being pulled along by the dominant thoughts that you're just kind of cycling through your mind. That the thoughts that we keep in our mind eventually work themselves out in our lives. That you can't move in a positive direction if you're filled with negative thoughts. And I'll tell you, your thoughts matter so much. The way that you think about your circumstances matters so much. The way that you think about your life matters so much. See, if you can't control what you think, you're never going to be able to control what you do. So why is it that so often we make unwise or irrational or ungodly decisions? It's because our actions are the fruit of our most powerful thoughts. That what you do always flows out of what you think. which is why it's so important for us as God's people to learn how to train our minds. You may say, well, how do you train your mind in life? Well, many of you, you go to the gym and you pump iron, man, you're getting swole. You go to CrossFit and you're doing those crazy workouts. Maybe you do like Zumba. I don't know if that's Zumba, and I've never done it, but that's my interpretation of Zumba. Hey, you swim, whatever it is. What are you? You're training your body. You're increasing your anaerobic threshold. You're getting in shape. You do the same thing. You train your mind. You're training your mind towards the truth. But here's what I didn't understand for years about the physical body. I thought if I just do the workouts, if I just run, if I just lift, if I work hard, then I'll be in great shape. But what I didn't realize is that to be truly physically fit, it's not just what you do with your body, it's what you put in your body. And some of you need to hear that this morning. It's not just what you do with your mind, it's what you put in your mind. And some of us, man, we're just so consumed. We've got negative people around us. We've got critical people around us. We've got news on all the time. We're listening to talk radio, the content of TV and movies. We're inundated with junk and garbage and critical thinking. No wonder that's the way that our lives are moving. Whatever you think about, our lives move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. See, what to be healthy, it's not just what you do with your body, it's what you put in your body. To be healthy mentally, it's not just what you think about, it's what you put in your mind. See, to have a truly God-centered, healthy mind, it's not just what you do with your mind, it's not just, I'm thinking positive, I'm thinking good, I'm thinking right. It's what you put in your mind. And Paul says, you've got to fix your thoughts on these things. You got to fix your thoughts on what's lovely and admirable and true and worthy of praise, all these things. So let me ask again, how do we train our brain with God's truth? Let me read a few scriptures to you. Psalm 119, verse 15, it says this. It says, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I meditate on your precepts, all the things that you've told me to do, all the ways in which you want me to live and walk. I meditate on those things. I meditate on your precepts, and I consider your ways, all the ways that you've been faithful, all the ways that you've fulfilled your promises, all the ways that you've exemplified your goodness. I'm meditating on these things. Psalm 1 through 2 says this. It says, oh, the joys who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. I'm thinking about, I'm meditating all that you've done, God. The simple definition, if you're taking notes, of meditation, it just means to mentally chew on a thought. It means to mentally chew on a thought. The Hebrew word for meditate is the Hebrew word haggah, and it means to speak or to mutter or to imagine or to study. It's this idea of repeating over and over and over again, either mentally or verbally. We're thinking over and over and over. We're getting away from outside distractions. We're mentally chewing on this thought. In other words, I'm thinking about your truth, God. God, I'm thinking about all of your promises. God, I'm thinking about the ways that you've been good to me in the past. I'm thinking about the character and nature of who you are, your goodness and your faithfulness. I'm thinking about these things over and over and over. I meditate on who you are and what you do. Now, in Eastern religions, meditation is different. Meditation is all about, in Eastern religions, it's all about emptying your mind, trying to clear your mind of everything. But this is just the opposite. When we talk about meditation, it's not emptying your mind of things. It's filling your mind with God's truth. It's filling your mind with God's promises. And just as you train your body, you train your mind towards the truth, not just by what you think about, but what you put in there. It's not just what you do with it, it's what you put into it. And so what I've been doing for the last season is just putting new intentionality in my time with Jesus every morning. I started a practice about 14 months ago called the 5-Minute Journal. You may have heard of it before. I kind of did a tweak on it. And basically, you just start every single day. First thing, what are three things that you're grateful for? Immediately, you start something positive. What are three things that'll win the day? You get that from Benjamin Franklin. You've got daily goals that will win your day. But here's what's been so powerful for me. Is there two identity statements that you make about yourself? And for a season I was going through, I was meeting with a godly guy and just kind of talking to him about how I was thinking and how I was feeling. And I realized that I already had the practice every day of speaking these identity statements into my life. But the correlation was that I began to realize how many of the lies from the enemy I was believing about myself and about my circumstances. And so every morning, just for a couple minutes, I would think, what is the lie that I'm believing about this day? Okay, that's a lie. I'm going to take that hostage. What's the truth of God's word? What's the identity statement that I need to make into this situation or season? So for me, if I woke up and thought, you know, man, I just wish I could sleep for another hour. Man, I'm so tired. I don't want to get out of bed. I would say, no. That's a lie from the enemy, because I am full of God's energy and he empowers me to accomplish everything that he has called me to do. That's the truth of God's word for the situation, for the season. If I wake up and say, man, I can't wait for Friday, my day off. Man, I can't wait. I need a vacation. I say, no. I am passionate and blessed to serve God's people. That's not just speaking positive thoughts. That's claiming the truth of God for your life and for your season. That instead of letting the enemy's lies take root in our lives and build a stronghold, we start the day on the offensive. We say, no, that's a lie. I'm not going to believe that. I'm not going to hold on to that. I'm not going to allow that to cycle around in my mind. And I say, bam, here's the word of God instead into the situation or season. And you mix that in with getting God's word into your heart and soul every day. You open up YouVersion Bible app and you read the Bible. You open up your papal Bible and you begin to study. Man, it's so powerful. And I've realized that for myself. I can't study God's word for a sermon. I've got to study God's word for my life and hear God's word for my own life. So powerful. And I need this because it sets my mind on the truth. And I'll tell you, that if I don't do this, my mind doesn't naturally gravitate towards the truth. My mind naturally gets fixated on whatever lies or whatever negativity is floating around. And you know, we all have versions of this. You'll wake up and think, man, I'm exhausted. I can't keep doing this. Wake up and say, you know what? Why do I even keep trying doing this? It's not working. Yeah, you wake up thinking, you know, you're just going to mess up again. Wake up thinking, you know, your life is so hard and nobody understands. You wake up thinking, you know, you can't keep on going on at this pace. You'll never make it. And what Paul says is we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. Scientifically, we're rewiring our brain, but God's word says we renew our mind with the truth of God's word. We're allowing God's word to renew our mind over and over and over. We're not believing the lies from the enemy, but we're embracing God's truth. Now, let me apply this to last week. Last week, we talked about this, and just hearing stories from the week and from our growth groups, man, I'm so thankful, because it seems like this is kind of like a foundation message for many of us, where we're applying this to our lives, we're experiencing freedom in our lives. But we talked about this. You change your thinking, and you change your life. Your thoughts matter so much, and so we talked about two questions. The first one is what's the number one lie that you're believing about yourself? What's the number one lie that's kept you hostage in your life? You've got a spiritual enemy. He knows you better than you know yourself and knows what lies to speak into your life. And so what's the number one lie that you're believing about yourself or your season or your situation? Are you thinking, you know, God can never use me after what I've done? Or, you know, my family always struggles with this issue, or my family's always struggled financially, or always struggle, you know, everybody is addicted to this. Or is that what's in your mind? Are you thinking, you know, I'm just a relational mess? You know, everybody that I get close with eventually walks out. You know, and so we talked about identifying the lie that's kept us as a hostage. And then the second question we talked about is, what's the truth that will demolish that stronghold? Because for every lie from the enemy, there's a truth from God's word that will set you free. And many of us have been locked in a prison when all we need is God's truth that will unlock that and set us free. And so what's the number one truth that will set us free? Now, I don't know what it'll be for you, but you may think, you know, I'm not a hostage. I'm not a prisoner to addiction. I've got the power of Christ dwelling inside of me, and I can overcome that thing that has haunted me for years. You may think, you know, my God is for me.
My God is a great provider. He's going to meet all of my needs. I will be a blessing to other people. Whatever it is, you name that truth. What's the lie that's held you hostage? What's the truth that will set you free? And here's what I want us to do this week. If you're taking notes, write this in. As we've got to write it, we've got to believe it, we've got to confess it until we believe it. We've got to write it, we've got to think it, we've got to confess it until you believe it. You got to identify what that lie is, the thing that the enemy has held against you, that lie that you've been believing about yourself or your season. And then you think it, you meditate on it over and over and over again. What's the thing that God has spoken to you? You think about it, and then you confess it. What's your declaration going to be? What's your declaration over your life or over the season? And then you keep on doing this until you believe it. You're going to write it. You're going to think it. You're going to confess it until you believe it. You're going to create new neural pathways. You're going to allow God's word to renew your mind. You're going to write it, think it, confess it until you believe it. For some of you, your life in so many ways has been defined by anxiety, by worry. You've got no peace. You're sleeping terrible. You lay awake at night and you're thinking about what about this and what about that and how is this going to play out? And so what are you going to do? You're going to make a declaration statement. You're going to write it down. You're going to think it. You're going to confess it. And yours may go like this. Here's your declaration. You're going to say, because of Christ, I'm not anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, I'm going to present my request to God. And the peace of God is going to wash over me and speak to me and comfort me. You're going to write it. You're going to think it. You're going to confess it until you believe it. Maybe for some of you, you don't know what to do. You got a decision that you've got to make and you're worried. You're like, I just don't know what to do about this. I don't know what God's will is for me. I'm afraid I'm going to mess it all up. And so you're going to declare, here's your declaration. You're going to say, my life belongs to God. And daily I seek him and daily he leads me into his perfect will. I am his sheep, therefore I know his voice and he will lead me and direct every single step. And you're going to write it, you're going to think it, you're going to confess it and declare it until you believe it. Maybe for some of you, you lack confidence. You think, God, I could just never be good enough for that, or I never measure up, or I'll never really make a difference like I always believed that I could have. And you're going to declare the truth of God's word over your life. Here's the declaration. You're going to say, my confidence isn't in myself. My confidence is in Christ and Christ alone. That because the same spirit and power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of me, I can do everything that he calls me to do. And you're going to write it. You're going to think it. You're going to confess it until you believe it. What's your declaration today? What's your declaration over your life? What's your declaration over the season? You're going to write it. You're going to think it. You're going to confess it until you believe it. And I'll tell you, you may feel foolish at first about speaking things into existence that may not be reflective in your life. But I tell you, a few minutes every day where you begin to meditate on what God has said and the truth of his words, you begin to make this declaration, this confession in your life, and something's going to happen. Scientists will say you're rewiring your brain, but God's word says you're renewing your mind with the truth of God's word. One day you're going to be talking with somebody, and you're going to be speaking life into them, and you're going to realize you're no longer held prisoner or hostage to that lie anymore. You've been set free. You may feel like it's two steps forward, one step back, three steps forward, two steps back, but as you continue every day, you're going to write it, you're going to think it, you're going to confess it until you believe. You just keep on doing this and you're going to get unlocked from a prison that maybe for some of you for decades you've been locked inside of. And you're going to experience God's freedom like never before. I would love it if all of us this morning, if we could stand up, because we're not just going to speak God's truth, we are going to praise with God's truth. And as the band leads us through the song, I want to ask us that we would not just be reflective about this song, that we would not just kind of sing timidly, but we would declare the truth of God's word, of who he is and who we are because of Jesus this morning. We would raise our voices and sing. Let's do that together.